Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, Derek. How are you doing today?
Good. Hang on a second. I can't hear you.
I'm having problems with my internet today, so you can hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you fine now.
Okay. How you doing?
Good. How
are
you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your weekend?
Good. How was yours? I gave more hoop cards out yesterday.
You did? How many did you give out?
A lot of, maybe two.
Oh, that's cool.
I gave one to a first responder. Gave one to a mail carrier.
Hey, great. You're doing a
great
job.
People are going to be calling. More hoop cards I give out, the increases my chances they're going to be calling me, right?
Yes, it is.
We don't know when.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't. But we need to spread the hope out all the time.
We need to give out hope cards. That's helping them, right?
Yep. Sure is.
Sure is.
Yes. The more hope cards we give out, the more hope we spread into people's lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. How are you dealing with your life coaching courses?
Good. Bob's supposed to be helping me.
Good.
Good.
That's great to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait till we get the registration website up.
Just the one page is up now. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Somebody else has joined us.
I only got the hope working on. I can't go on to
the registration optimize my life.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking about. Yes.
Who else joined us on the call? Anybody else joined us?
I'm here, Kurt.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
Good.
I am having issues with Henry. Oh, sorry.
How you doing, Mary?
Doing really good. I'm enjoying the nice, cool weather.
It's Derek, by the way.
Hi, Derek.
How are you?
Good.
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 All right. So anyway, Mary, I'm having a lot of issues with my Wi-Fi, so I can't get on there. I don't know who's calling in, so can you just write down the numbers and just pass it on to me, please?
Of course. Right now, it's just
thank
you, me, and Derek, so.
Okay, thanks. Today's topic is the values, the peers that we have on the Hope Collection, and I wrote down a couple of them, and ones that really caught my eye are the family values, health and wellness, and I'm really a true believer in health values, family values, and that's the cornerstone of the family, and if you have a great family value, life seems to be very good for you, but unfortunately, some people don't, and that's when they need life coaching or help with the Hope Collection that can come in and help them. That need for family values also is also really tied into my faith values too. And I'm a very faithful guy. I believe in the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and as God. God is with me all the time, and that's how I raise my children too. And also another one I really caught my eye is the health and wellness here. And the health and wellness is something really unique, and it says preventive medicine and good mental health is a great way to live a great life. Also, with faith backing, nothing can stop you as well. I'm looking at, if you guys want to feedback on that, let me know how you feel about that. That's those are the questions I want to bring out today on the show. Family unity is a cornerstone of social growth in this country. I believe that is sometimes in fortunes of this country, there's no family value at all, and that's why the crime rate is up through the roof because of that, because they don't have the father or mother supporting the family. And if they don't have that, then you have no family values, unless you have a very good single parent. So I'm just bringing it out. I want to get some feedback on you guys, see how you feel about that.
Well, I have a little bit of an argument with that one there.
Okay.
Because it's not just your family values, it's also your personal values. You know, you could have the most gracious, best parents in the world.
Right.
But you could end up being little turds and do everything wrong.
Yeah.
You just have that streak of, I just don't care. Or, it could be the flip side. Yeah. You could have the worst parents in the world that, abuse you in every way possible, but you turn out phenomenal because you don't want to break, you want to break that cycle. You persevere.
Yeah, you want to become independent of the family, which is good in some aspects. But, the family values, I've also, you're very right about, people, raising up in a family that's part of the way, which is normal, which is good, as long as it, benefits you and doesn't harm other people. And does that go back to having faith in your family, too? Can you have a good life without faith in your family? I don't know.
See, that's where having faith in yourself and having faith in God and faith in general is what I believe is more important. Wow. Is just the faith. You believing in something, anything, regardless of what it is.
Yes, that's true. It's true. Well, that's good. But that's good because then you're a faith-based person, and that's what you believe in. But the reality is that you are the master of your own ship, regardless what your parents. My parents brought me up as a Christian-based family. And but my father wasn't really a believer in God and Jesus. He wasn't really that strong in religion, but my mom was. So I get my religious teaching from my mom. But I'm also an individual where I have, where I decide what's good for me. So that's, I would say that would probably be a good family value on my part. Am I correct?
Yes, but just because you don't go to church every Sunday doesn't mean you have a, don't have a strong faith.
Yeah, that's true, because the church is just a building. You can have your own church in the church service. You know, you can pick up the Bible every day and read the Bible. That makes a Christian in Europe.
Just because you read a Bible doesn't make you Christian, though. You have to believe in what you're reading. You know, a lot of people read the Bible. And a lot of people read it to pick it apart and say, this isn't true, this didn't happen, this couldn't happen. You know, it's all about internally what you believe in is what makes you who you are, irregardless of your faith.
Jumping
Hi, country
in.
Boy.
Hi there. My uncle served in two wars.
Hey, country boy.
My uncle served in two wars. He came home after the first war and declared himself a family alcoholic.
Hey,
he had
country
a
sixth-grade
education, and he'd be the first to tell you, I don't never read the Bible. Here's a little story about my Uncle Greeny. He had one green eye and one hazel green eye. We called him Greeny for short. A very spiritual man. Said bombs landed right next to him. He lost 48 of his platoon when a bomb exploded right next to him. He came home and started making liquor for the federal government with my granddaddy down by the river, the Chattahoochee, that is. Every Sunday morning early, I would be meeting my uncle going down to the river. He cursed every word. I'll skip y'all them curse words he would use. But I asked him, where are you going? He says, you know we're in ATL. I'm going to make some liquor. He says, where are you going, country boy? I said, I'm going to church. I'm going to Sunday school. He says, what the H-E-L-L you going up there for? I said, I'm going to learn about J-E-S-U-S. He said, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah. He says, Jesus who? I'm like, Jesus who? I didn't know Jesus had no last name. I call him Jesus Christ. He said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, yes, you do. Yes, I do. He says, have you ever seen him or you ever met him before? I said, no. He says, you go to his house every Sunday. Why you keep going if he ain't never there? But when I got to Sunday school 6 years of age that morning, I was confused. We don't serve a God of confusion. So I asked for answers. God will download wisdom at the speed of your questions. I asked the pastor, pulled him to the sidelines. Said, my Uncle Greeny says, I come to the house of the Lord every Sunday, and he ain't never here. And the pastor responded, he said, oh, yes, he is. He's in the house right now. Curiosity kicked in, did a 360-degree turn, looked around the room, didn't see nobody, looked at the ceiling, saw the chandelier. I said, is he invisible? He said, go to Sunday school, country. Late that afternoon, 5 hours later, I get home. My old grandmama lived to be 103. She had a sixth-grade education, too, but she had a master's degree in spirituality. Grandmama, I said, Uncle Greeny says I go to the house of the Lord every Sunday, but he ain't never there. She said, well, baby, let me ask you a few questions. When you was on the way to Sunday school this morning, did you feel the wind blowing? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you could feel the wind blowing right in your face? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, could you see the wind? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, God lives the same way inside of your heart. You'll never be able to sin. But you can always talk to him. He'll always hear you. You'll never be able to touch him because things that you can touch with your hand are man-made things. But God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He zip, 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 zip. And by the time I got that question answered and got an OD, and God lives in the spirit
and everything is man-made that you can see, explain, touch. They call them material things, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you'll have a head-on collision with him. You can't read him and find him in the Bible. He didn't write the Bible. He didn't write not one book in the Bible, but everybody in the Bible claimed that they knew him better than anybody. As John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. John says, I knew him before he was even born. I think he should be baptized with me. So you're going to have to, just like you said, Mary, and I'll turn it back over to you. You have one, anyone, has to develop a personal relationship. If you want to be atheist, you got that right. We serve a divine creator. Is an equal opportunity, and you get a chance to choose him, because before you even knew who you was, he already chose you. Back over to you, Mary.
Well, you're really getting a good question. You know,
there's a choir saying amen.
Every time Country Boy talks at the end, it's always an amen.
So, Mary, you said earlier, you have to have a one-on-one, whether you call him or not, call him Yahweh, call him Jesus, call him Jehovah, call him whatever you want. 1,000 names won't even be enough, but as long as you call him, don't wait till you need him to call him, though.
As long as you have somebody that you look up to, that's really good in your life. You have to, me personally, I have to have somebody higher than me to look up to get advice. And that's how my family value was back in the day when I was a kid. My grandparents, my mother, my grandmother on my mom's side, my father's side, all went to church. My sister and I went to church with them. And that's how I got to know Jesus, and that's how I knew I got to know God, and that's how my faith grew. And I teach that to my kids. And, you know, also they realize that people don't believe in God, but, you know, that's a family value that maybe they should have worked on. What I'm saying right now is my personal belief. I'm not trying to put anything on anybody. I'm just telling you how I am. So you can believe anything you want to believe or not to. That's your life. But I'm just saying that to me, Jesus Christ is the rudder of my ship, and you are the master of your own ship. And the values that you were brought up in, Catching Boy and Mary and everybody else was brought up in the old style where your grandparents went to church. You went to church with them. If you didn't want to, you were dragged by your ear to get in the car and go. That's how it was. And,
well, I got one more for you. Let me interrupt you and mess everybody up that's out there listening. Because if they don't feel like this, they're going to be excluded. I remember at the rightful age of 15 when I went to the altar and said I wanted to give my life to Christ, and looked back behind me and saw my three older brothers following me and the little girl that I was sweet on that was the pastor's daughter following me. So at that particular point in time, I got a chance to have a head-on collision relationship, got baptized. I'm a Southern Baptist, but one of my best friends who messed up was at the wrong place at the wrong time, sitting in the car when his buddies decided to take the money from a place that didn't belong to them. And he was sitting in the getaway car and didn't even know he was hitching a ride home. But just because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, he spent 6 years of his life in the state penitentiary. So he didn't meet Jesus in church. He didn't meet him down by the riverside. He met him in prison.
shit. God says I'm omnipotent. I, wherever you are, so am I also. Here's the last one, and I'll turn it back over to you, Ron Clayton. Shout out to Ron Clayton because he's using it too. We don't care. He don't care if you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail or if you was born on the wrong side of the tracks. He has a holy enough spirit to get you right back. Matter of fact, he has enough mercy and the grace in the palm of his hand to bless the whole human race. Back over to you, Mary.
I think you totally we'll do the collection. We don't discriminate against anybody. We don't do that. We're open to everybody, regardless of what your background is. You know, and I'm so honored and so proud that I am a member of the Hope Collection because I wouldn't meet you, Country Boy, or Mary, or Ron, or anybody else. And I'm really honored to be friends with you. Everybody on this show. And, you know, I'm also really proud of myself that I became a life coach. Now I can go out there and help people. So can Mary. So everybody on the show who is a life coach can go out there and help people in their challenges in life. That's what I'm all about. That's what Mary's all about. And that's what Country Boy's all about and everybody else. So I'm not trying to screw with anybody.
You know what I think is the biggest shaping for your family values is passing down the stories of your ancestors, of what your family did when they came here, what they did when they got the struggles. And you know, that is one of the biggest things that is now not happening as much as it used to. You know, when we were kids, we always heard the great stories of our grandpas and our great-grandpas and uncles and aunts and what they did back then, you know. And some of it was a bunch of bull, you know, but some people, you know, it really was, you know. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I walked, you know, 5 miles through the snow, you know, 5 feet, you know. Okay, granted, my family really did that. But, you know, when we don't hear those stories and we don't pass them on to the next generation, no one's learning about what life was like back in the day.
Exactly right, Mary. Here goes a 40-second cliff note. I'll talk real fast if y'all listen real fast. That little grandmother of mine was full-blooded Cherokee Indian. She weighed 103 pounds soaking wet. She got up at 3 a.m. every morning and walked 12 to 15 miles a day to work. She'd come home and clean organic chicken, strain the green beans, do the dinner, do the dessert, wash the dishes. By 5 o'clock in the evening, my grandma was sitting on the front porch in her rocking chair. I call it a spiritual scanner chair for the neighborhood. So she told you to go check on Miss Millie Ma. Don't ask why. Just go. She might have fallen and can't get up. Then she would start to sing her favorite song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. She said, don't you be jealous of your brothers. You let your little light shine. You don't have to go to college to be smart. Ask God to give you the information to where you understand it. I grew from an understander to an overstander. I don't just understand it. I understand it well enough to explain it to you. So, again, it has nothing to do with that. But the storytelling part on where you came from, where we are and where you're going has to be told. It has to be shared. It has to be passed down. And them $7 a year that my grandmother's seven sons sent her, she bought a cow. Then she bought a bull, and the old bull liked the cow and had some babies. Babies go forth and be multiplied. She took the cow and bought another cow and bought another baby cow and bought another cow. And then she bought 1 acre, 2 acres, 14 acres. And we have 42 acres of land in our family because my grandmother knew how to plant a seed. Then I'll just kind of stop there, but it gets better and better and better. Last part of the story. Grandmama says, baby, stop believing all that stuff the world tells you. Who told you? Who told you, the devil? Who told you that you cannot have your cake and eat it, too? When I went into the grandmama's kitchen where I got my grandmama's pound cake recipe that'll mesmerize the world. Even Sarah Lee would say, how you do that there? Grandmother's pound cake started out with not one, not two, but five. We had a big oven. We got 17 people in our family, in our media family. Baby, she says, let me tell you how to bake this cake. You got to bake it with love. The first thing I'm going to have to tell you is you have to give it a lot of love. The first cake that we did, we gave it away. Oh, yeah, we gave it away. She said, it's better to give. It's better to give. It's better to give than to receive. Guess what we did with the second cake? We ate it. We ate it all up. Oh, 17 of us. Oh, we need another cake. We ate the other cake. Guess what happened to the other two cakes? Oh, she put them in the freezer so we could have them later. Who told you that you can't have your cake and eat it, too? Yeah, we have our cake and eat it, too. And have cake to give away. My grandmama's philosophy about the five loaves and the fish, she didn't read it in the Bible. She said she heard it through the grapevine. Back on you, Mary.
All right. Somebody's got really loud background.
So please hit mute on your phone because the call is being recorded so people can listen to it later. So if you're not speaking, you can jump right in and speak like Country Boy does all the time. So we leave the lines open so anybody anywhere in the world. We're broadcasting to 73 different countries and 42 different languages that can be converted to. So if you guys want to be part of the conversation, please do. Thank you for joining us today. But as Mary said, just hit the mute on your phone. And if you want to speak, then speak right up. We can hear you.
Well, I wanted to the reason why Mary is running the board is because I have no internet here at all. And my computer, I believe, has taken a dive. I'm waiting for a new one to come in. So, thank you, Mary, for doing this for me today and co-hosting. But we are touching a lot of good bases here about, you know, family values and how – I want to put it out here. I have another question, guys. How do we put family values back into the families today that are missing a portion of the family? How do we do that?
Biggest way is lead by example.
They never left. We just did, we stopped teaching. The value has always been there. You can't take value away unless darkness shows up. The demons make it loose. That's my background, yours now. That's my roosters. the good question, but not really right when we asked it that way. The values have never been taken away. Just as Mary just explained, we have to continue to tell stories, not just about the Grinch who stole Christmas, about Lynn Kane, who started an organization 50 years ago because he got two Norelco razors and he tried to figure out how to get rid of one of them to raise money. Right. Zoop, zoop, zoop. Those are the kind of stories. I told Lynn Kane that I would much rather tell his story about his razor and his 50-year-old non-for-profit organization than to even attempt to talk about people about the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Right.
Oh, exactly. You know, and that's the stories that I tell about my kids. Like my daughter, you know, so worried about the neighbors and the fire department that she drags a case of water down the hill and across the neighbor's yard just to make sure everybody had something to drink when it was hot outside.
Yeah.
That's a good family value right there.
So let's duck around Kurt's question. How does one's attempt start, get help, continue to put the family value? Y'all have heard me say for months, every single day for the last 20 or 30 years, I pick 10 people. I don't even keep people's name in my phone unless I somebody I really want to talk to. Okay? So what happens in the process, Country Boy always calls and says, I just call to say, I love you. Teaching that love message starts at home. It starts with oneself because a lot of the people that we're coaching now have lost love for oneself. I met a young lady yesterday. Question, ma'am. I heard you say, tell me more, but let me ask you a few questions. Can you tell me more? Before you got pregnant and had your baby, before you met the man of your dreams and married him, before you had the second baby and had to drop out of school, what did you really want to do? I asked my mama, 92 years of age, what do you want to be when you grow up? It'd been so long, it had cobwebs on it and little mold and mildew about what her life story was going to be before she got pregnant, before she got married and had to take two kids and take care of her husband. Did she have a dream at one point in time? Did she have a God-given purpose outside of just being a mother, a school teacher, a part-time zoop, 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 a dog walker, a laundry person, a chef? Did she want to be something else inside of me? Mother's Day is every day. They don't get a chance to say, go away, I don't feel like being your mother. Mary, Kurt's question was, how does one continue, put back in, replace, tell a new story with icing on top about family values?
The first thing you got to do is put your family first. Unplug.
Woo.
Don't work.
Woo.
20 hours
down,
a day.
Write it down, y'all. Say it again, Mary.
Put your family first.
Wow.
Just spend time with your family, your kids. You know, I'm thankful because I grew up in an older type style family. So Sundays was always a family day. So we'd go to my grandma's and she would cook and we'd all sit and hang out.
What time was
it? Oh, it was noon, 1 o'clock. Noon, 1 o'clock. It's old school.
Were you on your iPad or playing video games when your parents said it's time for dinner, or did you put your game down and come to dinner?
Oh, we were poor. We didn't have that stuff back then. We were the iPad entertainment back when we were kids.
Oh, my Lord. Now we're talking different lifestyle. The dog said, and I tell you what, when my grandmama said, look, I'm not going to call you twice. It's dinner time. She didn't have to ring the bell. If you was down the street at your friend's house playing horseshoes, playing cowboys and Indians, doesn't matter. Dinner time is dinner time. And then the other place that I didn't think never took place a precedence over family dinner time. Oh, yes, there is. You know what took place over family? Sit down, be quiet, be still. God is trying to tell you something. When the thunderstorm and the lightning came, I don't care what you're doing, what game you're playing, who you're talking to, whatever you're doing, God is trying to tell you something. God is doing his work. Put that stuff down and come and sit down until God gets through doing what he's doing. Oh. I said, Grandmama, I got one more question for you. She said, well, baby, you always got questions, but I hope I can answer it. If the weatherman gives a forecast for the whole week and tells you it's going to rain on Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning, why does he have to come to work for the rest of the week? Back over you, Mary.
Right. Now, I am old school, too, because when during school, I would do my homework. And then I go out and play with the kids. And my mom and my father, especially my father, said, you better be home before the streetlights come on. And as those streetlights came on, I knew that was dinner time. And it was like 5 during the night. And I had to be in. Or if not, I would have had my bike taken away for a day if I didn't come in exactly when those lights went on. And that's how I knew. And that's one of my really funny values, how my parents put that into me, like, come home before the streetlights come on. Sure, I did. Every day I came in, and some of my friends weren't there. They didn't go home And the next day they said, I'm punished for the day. I'm like, well, you can listen to your parents like I do. So that's still a funny story I have. It's like how the family values report in to me.
But then we also grew up in an environment that if you got in trouble, the neighbor would yell at you.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You had that community raising your kids where it wasn't just.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, anybody in our neighborhood had the right, without calling 911, without calling that child abuse, because little Kurt's got a weapon on his back where old girl hit him with a switch. Y'all know what a switch is. It'll make you change whatever you did that was not right. It'll make you switch your mind that you're not going to do that anymore. Not only did you have the right to get chastened by your neighbor, you got double chastened when you got home and they found out that you did something while you was at Mary's house and Mary spanked you. Why? Because you go over and play with her kids and if Mary's watching after my kids while she's watching her kids, if the little boy, Kurt, does something wrong, little boy, country boy, Mary, excuse my French, I'm going to have to say it the way it should be saying, you bust their ass, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please do it. Let me know. Because I guarantee you, it won't happen again. Family values. My granddaddy said, country boy, come here. Where do you think you're going like that? What do you mean? You need to pull your pants up and go find your belt before I get a belt for you. I knew what he was talking about. You ain't no slouching around here. What do you mean slouching? With your drawers hung out. My son come down when he was like in the seventh grade. I'm walking him to the bus stop. He's going to a private school. At 5:15, we're at the bus stop every morning. And you're going to have the audacity to come down my stairs in some pants that I bought you and they're all hanging off your butt? Well, you think you're going like that to school? Did you not hear my granddaddy's message that says when you leave here, it's not about you. You're representing the family. If something happens to you and you do something that's not right or just, it makes the whole family look bad. You think you're going out of here? Okay, you want people to see your underwear? Go upstairs and take them pants off and get back down here. He came back down in his underwear, Fruit of a Loons. Well, let's go. Go where? To school, to the bus stop. I can't go like this. You want everybody to see your underwear? Go ahead.
Oh, geez.
Why? Because you're not going to represent the Dorsey family like that. The first thing they told you, Kurt, he's not leaving here hungry, boy. You might want to steal something. If you're hungry, you forget. You forget. Your brain will do stuff. You better not be taking no bubble gum and putting it in your pocket. Where do you think you're going? Come in here. You got on clean underwear, Mary? In case I have to take you to the hospital. You never leave
every day
home with a bad attitude. You make sure that when you leave here, that if something happens to you, Kurt, they know I've been taking care of it. How? Because they might have to cut your clothes off and you got on clean underwear.
Clean underwear and socks. Unholy.
Family values. You can call it what you want to. It may not work for you, but it worked for her. She got 7 kids through college and out of the house and grandkids like Bob Oakley. Bob Oakley got a village up there. Ask him if he's teaching them grandkids anything.
Yeah.
He got a little village. Baby kids. It's an old family multiply. Creating family. Generational wealth that's taking place right in the front of our eyes. I'm going to stop right there.
You know, I always like to have something. When I was growing up back in South Jersey, we always went to my grandmother's house on Sunday nights and have dinner with the whole family. And that's what's missing in the family now. I think they really should bring that back. Just throw away the phone, not throw away, but put away the phone, put everything away, and just sit down as a family every Sunday and drink. I always loved that. My mom, my grandmother, and my mom would make a big feast, and we would sit down as a family, sat there and talked about how the week was and how our lives are changing. And that's part of the family value that's missing. I think that should bring that back. I really do. It's part of growing up. Nowadays, families don't need to eat dinner together.
You know, the biggest part is just talking.
Right. You know how much we travel. We're all in the travel business, right? You know what the best time I've had over the last 2 to 3 years that the coronavirus shut everybody down? Several of my family members have home theaters now. We was in the home theater watching Petticoat Junction. We was watching Leave It to Beaver. We was watching the Andy Griffin Show. We watched Lucille Ball. We watched the little three brothers that used to punch each other in the nose, Alvin and Costello. Black and white movies that kids had no clue. While they was all being mesmerized, I went into the back room and came out with a box full of little items. I pulled out one of the items in the box. It was a Count Basie, if y'all know who he is. And a Louis Armstrong 33-inch album. If you accidentally bump it against your knee, it will shatter. Then I came out, and that same box was a 33-inch, they call it vinyl, that wouldn't break and shatter. And when they said, I got a new album, one of those albums I showed them was Elvis Presley. Then I broke out something called a 45. I showed them a 45 that had James Brown and Aretha Franklin written on the 45. Then I bought them up to date and showed them a 8-track cassette that where you had to push the button and change the track. And it was Parliament and Bootsy Collins and George Clinton talking about One Nation Under the Groove. Country Boy stole that one. I call it One Nation Under Love now. That was 35 years ago when they did that. Then I pulled out a cassette tape. It had Whitney Houston on the cassette. Then I bought out a 45 record, and my son wanted to know if it was an oversized CD, which he was familiar with, and I had a CD in there also. But do you see what happened? They love music, but can you believe that I pulled out an album that no one had ever seen, a real album? No one knew what an 8-track tape was. And then I bought out the Ison. I bought out the real, the kind they used to show you the movie on. That the film goes from one reel to the other and goes through there and magnifies it up on the wall, not on the digital screen on the wall. Those are all family things that I'm now showing, and somebody videotaped me while I was showing everybody the history so that they can show that video to their children. Back over you, Mayor.
You know, that's the hardest part. Yeah. Like with my kids, they were explaining thou then and now, and they used records as an example. I still play records. I have a record. I used to have a record player. I just broke, so I have to get a new one. It wore out. But my daughter kept arguing with her teacher. No, that's not then. This is now. They're like, no, this is what you used to use to listen to music. And she's like, no, we still do. And she went and grabbed them out and showed them. See, we still have these. We still use these.
Wow.
But you see, we still watch black and white TV at our house. Like right now, the show we're watching is Hazel.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's old school, but that's awesome. And then I fast forwarded, and for 28 years now, I got married last year to Lady V. Y'all heard me talk so much about. When I was married those 20 years, my wife bought a big screen TV. She worked for Coca-Cola. I think they gave her one. But here going on 30 years now, country boys never owned a TV. I always found something else to do with my time. So for the last 26 years, at midnight, I'm going to wait to the midnight hour when no one else is around. That's when I go study. I study for 4 hours every night for the last 26 years. So people, you only get two educations in life, one that everybody else gives you and one that you give yourself. So people want to know why I know all this stuff, because I study. And then I study history. I have two pieces of world history that never got documented, that didn't make it to the history books. I have a Buffalo Soldier print in the Battle of San Juan Hill that Ron Clayton and Lynn Cain and I are working on. Just history is so rich because, again, it's hard for our children to get to a destination if they don't understand where they came from, where their mom and them came from, and their great-great came from. It's very important. Because during the midst of the chaos on all this stuff that's happening in the world, and they want you to follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, follow them on Instagram, follow people that you don't even know, follow people that you think they like you because they clicked on your like button, follow you because of what? Who cares what you have for breakfast or lunch or dinner? So what happens is if you don't teach them, if you don't put, and here comes Mary, if you don't put your family first, somebody else will.
Yes, that's very true.
They'll try to interrupt them with something.
That is so true, because you have to take care of, you know, well, you have to take care of your wife, you have to take care of your family, because if you don't... You will be replaced.
I personally believe it's why. I believe that's part of the reason why we have such a high divorce rate now. It's because we put everything in front of your marriage, in front of your family, in front of everything. You don't communicate anymore. We don't talk.
And I
know texting to me was a way to avoid having a conversation with people. I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world when they came up with text messaging. Like old days, I grew up with something called pagers. So if I paid you, Kurt, you had to get off the interstate, decide without your GPS whether to turn right or left, and hoping that you chose the right direction to turn in, that you could spot a phone booth on side of the road, germ-free. To let me know that you got the page, but the problem was that nobody ever had no conversation doing all this pages back and forth. And then here's one more for you. I was listening to the radio on the way home last night, on the way over to the forum this morning, and they had me just crying and laughing. They talk about how love is not what it used to be, Mary, and how you can get love among the man. I'm going to drop this one like it's hot on y'all. 33 years ago, old person I knew in the industry had a song that came out in 1988 called Computer Love. Is this you I see on my computer screen? Are you my computer love? Whoa, baby. So guess what? People now think they can date a lie. They can. They found their spouse a lie. They did. You mean that's not what Kurt looked like, but that's what his picture looks like on Facebook? That's what he looked like in high school. That ain't what he looks like. He's 160 pounds heavier. Oh, you mean you didn't know that before he asked you to marry him and you told him, yeah? Wow. So I was just going crazy thinking, wow, between the news, social media, what the friends are doing, what the Joneses are wearing, all what the Kardashians are doing, No wonder people are so confused about who they are, what they're supposed to do, and don't get caught up in the mix, Mary, and came up on the wrong side of the tracks. And your dad, Country Boy, you didn't really get to know him because they took him out of the scenario and sent him to prison. And the one that you really know, your dad, Kurt, they snatched him and told him, we need you to come work for the federal government, and sent him off to the Army, so he came home with a nickel plate in his head. Now you got to take care of him and go get me out of jail.
Right.
So there's chaos.
Yeah.
There's chaos. Chaos. Family. Put family first. Anything in closing, anything that's a priority for you, you will figure out a good time to do it. When is a good time to do family? All the time, anytime, in between times. But Mary says, put family. You tell them, Mary.
Put family first.
I have a question. We have only 9 minutes. I have a question. I would love to introduce my family to the Hope Collection. Because it goes right back to what we're just talking about today, family first, family value. I think that would be a wonderful idea to expose the rest of your family to the Hope Collection. What do you think, guys?
Well, I already do. My husband was on the show last Wednesday.
Remember I gave you high five through the airways for that, Mary? We have a little old, I have an old lot of grandmom in me, and I tell people that know me now that are starting to understand how Country Boy is. I've just completed a 22-year fast. If it ain't good, I don't want to hear it. My family doesn't call me and tell me that somebody died. I hear people, did you hear about the people getting shot up in the mall? Yeah, I heard that from about 6 or 8 other people today. So anytime somebody has the courage to call me, I hope that they know that I'm still teaching grandmama's lesson. Baby, I'll be dead and gone. Chaos will hit the world. Do not be confused. Do not be confused. We do not serve a God of confusion. He made everything simple, simple. Two sides to everything. I am, I am, I am that I am. The truth and the light. Woo. Truth and the light. She says there's dark and there's light. There's good and there's bad. When God said it was good, saw it was good, it was good. Not necessarily in that order, but if God says it's good, it was of him. If it's not good, it's not of him. There's good, bad, front, back, up, down. If you come into my life, you come for one or two reasons. You either come to help me or to hurt me. You either come to give me something or take something from me. So if you call me up, tell me something good. You remember that one, Mary? Because if you give me some news, N-E-W-S, if you give me some news that I can U-S-E, some news that I can use, I can pay it forward to the family. The family, we got 8 pillars. Hygiene, poop, we got housing, we got boom, 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 boom. We got this. What category? The set. Here's the last one, Mary. Here's the last one, Kurt. www.better, B-E-T-T-E-R, world, W-O-R-L-D, changers with a S, C-H-A-N-G-E-R-S, better. WorldChangers.com. Go to the website. Scroll down to the middle of the page. Top of the page it says, seven mountains of culture. 4-minute video. The mountain of government. The mountain of music, arts, and entertainment. The mountain of business. The mountain of family. The mountain of religion. The mountain of housing and water and all of those things. It's going to explain to you about those 7 mountains based on your unique individual personality that the divine creator gave you. You can say, oh, That's the one that I'm interested on. That's the one that I'm interested on. When we start to invite our family to the Hope Collection and show them the rrcenter.com resource center, then they can start to say, I get in what we fit in. And in closing, we allow everybody, regardless on whether you're from the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west, to come in and love your very, very best, because what we're doing is we're creating a new family atmosphere that allows us, yes, us, to do extraordinary things on ordinary days.
Country boy, what's that website again?
Better World Changers, all one big word, betterworldchangers.com. Stroll to the center of the page, seven mounds. It doesn't matter what your personality or what you do. It's going to fall into one of those categories, whether you're a business person, whether you want to be involved in the government, whether you want to be involved in health, whether you want to be involved in family. It gives you a better explanation on your personality and where you really, really, your purpose-driven life is hidden behind one of the buttons.
Okay.
BetterWorldChangers.com. Seven mountains of culture. It will explain to you how to help you categorize your personality, so that when we come in as a family group, whether you're the person in the family that draws with crayons, and he's the one that owns the lawn service in Moe's, and Kurt is the painter house man, and he's the IT man, and she's the child specialist lady, doesn't matter. You get in where you fit in, and ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do, and we want to assist and help you.
Amen. That's what we're doing.
No, country boy, this is the radio show you send me on Mondays, right? Or the call-in show? Is this the call-in church thing that you send me on Monday nights?
Well, let me first of all, it is a spiritual, how you take the whatever it is business that you're doing, how you take it to the marketplace. They will tell you, I know we're going a little over, they will tell you that 90% of the people in America have some type of spiritual faith. But what they didn't teach you with your faith, and I'm not belittling churches and mosques and wherever you do what you do at, they didn't teach you how to take your spirituality and go back to the workplace where all the money's at. It was fine if you got Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, sanctified Sunday, but when you went back to work and tried to mention and ask Kirk to come to church with you, your job is at jeopardy. You don't bring your God up in here. You remember they took God out of the school? I pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under Buddha, under God. You can't say that no more. So that's what happened, is they split it up and made it uncordially for you to talk about God on the radio and question somebody's spirituality or relationship. Is you a Pentecostal and I'm a Presbyterian, and it doesn't say that, but you say, our Father. Who are you to tell me that your Father is better than mine? When you've been praying to our Father, which art in heaven. So we don't step on toes, but Ron Clayton says, we tell the truth. A lot of people, they say the truth will set you free. If you don't know that the business mountain, finances, all them other mountains, the family, the faith, the churches, yeah. Whatever you do business, but if you don't know how to do business on a spiritual level, you ain't going to win. You're going down, baby.
All right.
And you're going to stop. Don't be talking about, I can do all things through, yeah, who strengthens you. So now
we're
going
to interrupt, but we're under a minute.
Okay, Mary, go ahead, baby.
Go ahead, Mary. Finish up.
All right. Well, we talked about family today and family values, and tomorrow it will be marketplace with Rick Reeks and travel. And thank you guys for being here, and we'll see you guys, hear from you guys tomorrow.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
God bless.
You too.
Bye-bye.